This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Philippians chapter 4. And certainly Sister Easton sends her love. She would have been here, but our church has a connectional meeting, Women's Missionary Society meeting in Columbus, and she certainly sends her love. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Can we just stand for the reading of God's Word? I know in some places that is the custom, and we certainly want to reverence the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we come before your presence just to say thank you. Thank you for the marvelous opportunity to communicate your word. Lord, we simply say, speak, for your servants are listening. Consecrate us to your service by the power of grace divine. Let our souls look up with a steadfast hope, and our wills be lost in thine. Have your way, and we will give you glory, praise, and honor. In the glorious, matchless name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Let the church say amen. Amen and amen. Repeat these words after me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look at somebody and say, Lord, send your peace. Look at him again and say, Lord, send your peace. Beloved, I believe that the peace of God is one of the greatest gifts a believer can have. And I do believe that you cannot have God's abiding peace unless you are in relationship with God. You can't have God's peace unless you're saved, sanctified, and feel with the Holy Ghost. The peace of God is so awesome. The word says that it is beyond. Somebody say beyond. It is beyond human comprehension. In other words, you can't make sense out of God's peace. You can't always understand God's peace, but when you have it, you know it's nothing more than a gracious gift from Almighty God. Paul had this peace as he was writing to the church of the Philippians. In this text, if you read from verse 1, you will find that there were two women, co-workers with Paul, workers in the vineyard, bringing souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But these two women had an interpersonal conflict. For some reason, they were not getting along with one another. They were not at peace, but even in the midst of church conflict, Paul takes time to let the church know that in spite of differences, in spite of things that don't always go our way, we can still have God's peace. Now, down through the Christian centuries, there have been persons throughout the Bible and throughout church history and throughout our African American experience who have had the peace of God. The awesome and tremendous and amazing peace of God. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was traveling back from Savannah, Georgia to England. And in the midst of their journey back, their ship began to rock and move from one side to another with tremendous turbulence. And he noted a group of Monrovians. While everybody else was screaming, they were praying. They were singing hymns. And John Wesley said, "I want that peace." 35 years ago, I began my pastoral ministry in a small town called Watley, Georgia. And my first pastoral visit was to a nursing home where I visited a lady by the name of Julia. Bone cancer had eaten the flesh from her fingers and toes. But when I arrived at the nursing home, I left with more power and more strength because I got from her the almighty peace of God. My mama had that peace. My daddy told me that on her last day of her life, she led her choirs in the singing of a song that said, "After all I've been through, I still have joy." Which lets me know that as my mother transitioned from earth to heaven, she still had God's peace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German leader of the Lutheran Church who opposed Hitler's evil regime, said that when God calls a person, God bids them to come and die. And even though he was in a German concentration camp, he had a peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't you know that Martin Luther King Jr. had that peace? On the last day of his life, as he spoke that powerful message, he said that "I've been to the mountaintop and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land." And he said, "I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land." Don't you know that Mary McLeod Bethune had that peace? The Klan threatened to burn down her newly found college in Daytona Beach, Florida. But as they came with their torches, she told her students to turn on the lights. Turn on the lights. And she walked outside and spoke to the Klan. And she said, "If you burn my buildings down, I'll build them back again. And if you burn them down a second time, I'll build them back again." Mary McLeod Bethune had that peace. Don't you know that Fannie Lou Hamer had that peace? Leader of the Freedom Democratic Party in Mississippi. She stood up at the Democratic National Convention and said, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." Fannie Lou Hamer had that peace. And didn't Rosa Parks have that peace? She sat down so we could stand up. She said, "My feet are tired, but my soul is rested." And don't you know those four African-American congresswomen who were called nasty names by our president? They had the peace enough to let the president know that "I'll be your worst nightmare." Standing up for the rights of God's people. They had that peace. And didn't Jesus have that peace? As he hung between two thieves on Calvary and said as he was dying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus had that peace. And I'm here to tell you today that I've walked through the dark night of grief. In almost 6 weeks' time, I lost a sister-in-law and I lost my precious daughter. But I'm here to tell you that there's no way that I can explain the peace that God gives in the midst of those circumstances. It's inexplicable. You cannot explain it. But all I know is that it still is a gracious gift from Almighty God. And I stopped by First African just to let you know today that I want you to have this peace. I want you to walk away from here no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the dilemmas are. You can be broke, you can be busted, you can be disgusted, but look at somebody and say, the story is not over. Tell them again, the story is not over. Tell them God is not through with you yet. I'm here to tell you, if you have the peace of God, that the Lord can take you higher. The Lord can take you to another level. The Lord can bless you above and beyond all that you can ask or think. Do I have about 3 or 4 witnesses that know that God can give you peace? I just want to leave you with 3 prerequisites in getting God's peace. And you can leave this place today knowing that no matter what your challenge is, if you have the peace of God, God can take you through the storm. God can take you through the rain. God can take you through disappointments. God can take you through hurt. God can take you through grief. If you would only have the peace of God in your life. Well, first of all, if we're going to have the peace of God, watch this now. We must make joy a permanent part of our lives. Let me say that again. We must make joy. Somebody shout joy. We must make joy a permanent part of our lives. Now listen to me now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Now most folks are happy when they got money in their pocket. Most folks are happy when they got a clean bill of health. Most folks are happy when they have their dream job. Most folks are happy when they have their dream wife or husband. Or boo, can I get a witness here? But I'm here to tell you there's a difference between happiness and joy. If you got joy, there's nothing that can take it away. Where I grew up in Candler County, they used to sing a song, "This Joy That I Have. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away." When you got joy, it is not dependent upon your outward circumstances. Your joy is dependent upon your inward relationship. Somebody missed that. That went over your head. So let me say it again. If you got joy, it is not dependent on your outward circumstance, but it is dependent upon your inward relationship. Now, I've been living long enough to know that joy can be a choice. You can't choose your circumstances, but you can choose joy. You cannot choose the state of your health, but you can still have joy. You may not always be able to control what's happening on your job, but you can still have joy. Joy is a choice, and it ought to be a permanent part of our lives. I want you to look carefully with me at verse 4. The word says, rejoice in the Lord. Now notice what it does not say. It does not say that we ought to rejoice for everything, but we ought to rejoice in everything. And notice now, it didn't say that we ought to rejoice in our family or in our jobs or in our circumstance, but we ought to rejoice in the Lord. Listen to me now, this peace that joy brings comes again from a relationship with God. If you don't have relationship, you can't have peace. And if you don't have relationship, you can't have the joy that leads to peace. So the word says again, rejoice in the word. And notice now that this joy is not a temporary reality. It says rejoice always. Well, I could hear somebody saying, well, preacher, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what I'm going through, but it still said rejoice always. I can hear you saying, well, preacher, you don't know my financial state, but it still says rejoice always. You can say, you don't know, I'm having problems in my marriage. It says rejoice what? Always. My children are acting like bandits and not like I raised them, but the word still says rejoice what?
Always.
And then to add emphasis to it, Paul says, and again, rejoice. So you know what that means? That means that you ought to not only have joy at First African, but have joy tomorrow. Have joy on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Have joy in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. God calls us to have joy. I like what Nehemiah said. He said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because when you have God's joy, it's strength to help you overcome. It's strength to help you endure. It is strength to help you make it. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Over and over again, day after day, month after month, year after year, God is calling us to a state of joy. But I'm here to tell you, there's some folks that can test your joy. Can I be real today? They can test your joy. But brothers and sisters, through it all, we got to have joy. Now, what happens when folks test your joy? I think it's found in verse 5 here. It says, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Now, let me give you the Eastern interpretation of that. Now, since the Lord is coming soon, and since one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day, and we don't know when the Lord is coming, the Eastern interpretation is, don't you let no devil in hell steal your joy. Don't you let no person steal your joy. Don't you let no words that they speak steal your joy, because you can have a gentle spirit even when the devil is trying to bring you down. Now, I'm not talking about that devil with a red suit or a pitchfork or a tail. I'm talking about that devil that wears three-piece suits and Agna high-heeled shoes. Y'all with me now? But the word says that gentleness, a gentle spirit, you know what gentleness really is? Gentleness is patience and joy under control. Somebody missed that. It is patience and joy that is under control. When folks are acting a fool, you just be calm. When they talk about you, just be calm. And let the Holy Spirit tell you when to speak. Because sometimes, you know, the book of Proverbs says, even a fool seems wise when they hold their peace. So sometimes you just let the fools talk. Do I have any amens here? Talking about gentleness. So, brothers and sisters, if we're going to have the peace of God, look at somebody and tell them to make joy a permanent part of your life. Tell them again, make joy a permanent part. Now emphasize, say a permanent part of your life. Then secondly, if we're going to have the peace of God, we must let go of anxiety and worry. Let me say that one more time. We must, look at somebody and say, we must. We must let go of worry and anxiety. Now let's look at verse 6 here. It says, do not worry about anything. Now, there are some translations that says what? Be anxious for nothing. Now, some folk probably were thinking that Paul was crazy. Paul, what do you mean be anxious for nothing? You don't know. The doctor told me I got cancer. Be anxious for nothing. I'm about to get a pink slip on my job. Be anxious for nothing. I'm going through problems in my marriage. Be anxious for nothing. My bills are high. My money is low. And I can't even pay attention. Be anxious for nothing. You don't know what they're saying about me, even in church. Be anxious for nothing. My best friend don't even understand me anymore. Be anxious. The word says be anxious for nothing. Let go of anxiety. Let go of worry. Watch this. When we trust God and put our hope in God and live in the plan of God and the purpose of God, God assumes the responsibility for your provision. I need to say that again, because most of the time our worries come from how we're going to make it. But when you trust God, when you are operating in God's will and purpose, then watch this again. God assumes the responsibility for our provision. Let me blow your mind. Your job is not your source. I'm going to say that again. Your job is not your source. God is your source. And when you recognize that God is your source, then you can go to work with peace. I dare you to try it. You can walk in there with confidence, knowing that you don't have to do anything unethical. You don't have to act a fool. You don't have to pull folks down in order to be lifted up. You don't have to play the game that everybody else plays. The word says, be anxious for nothing. You know what? When you're anxious for nothing, you know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are the called according to God's purpose. When you're anxious for nothing, you know that the Lord is your shepherd and you have everything you need. When you're anxious for nothing, you know that no weapon formed against you will prosper. When you're anxious for nothing, you know that if God be for you, who can be against you? Do I have anybody here ready to throw anxiety out the window? Anybody here ready to open the back seat of your car and tell anxiety to get the Hades out? Anybody here willing to open the front door of your house and tell anxiety to get out of my house? Anybody willing to open your wallet and your purse and tell anxiety to get out of my finances? If you're going to have the peace of God, watch this now. You got to let go of anxiety and worry. Now listen, I got as many problems as perhaps anybody else. But I've walked into situations over the years, if y'all were sitting on some of the boards that I sit on, some of the college and seminary boards, the places are broke. We need money like yesterday. But yet, worrying about the situation is not going to change it. Being depressed and pulling your hair out is not going to change it. Trusting God makes the difference. Believing in God makes the difference. Knowing that God can still work miracles makes the difference. Is there anybody here who believes in miracles? I've been pastor for 35 years, and there was one instance where I needed, the church needed to take care of some obligations, $8,000 beyond what we normally raise that day. But the Lord told me not to ask for an extra offering. And it was clear. And I was like, now, Lord, you got to be crazy. We need. And just before I was getting ready to go into service, a lady started running to me and she said, Pastor, the Lord blessed me this week. And I don't want you to say anything about it because you've been talking about tithing and this $13,000 is my tithe. Now I could have been worrying the whole week, right? How are we going to approach this? So I've seen God work miracles. Not just in the church. I've seen him work miracles in my life. And I know that there's about 30 or 40 of you know that you got a story where God has worked miracles in your life, and you know that God is still in the blessing business. So look at somebody and tell them, let go of anxiety. Tell them, let go of worry. Tell them one more time, let go of anxiety and let go of worry. Now we got to close, but the final point today is take it to the Lord in prayer. Y'all help me preach. Look at somebody and tell them, if you want peace, tell them, take it to the Lord in prayer. Tell them one more time, if you want peace, tell them, take it to the Lord in prayer. Now watch verse 6 again. Powerful. Do not worry about anything. But y'all hear y'all see that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now let's break it down for a minute. The word says, but in everything. Let me say it again, what it does not say. It does not say for everything. Now we don't have to thank God for cancer. We don't have to thank God for unemployment. We don't have to thank God for going through a divorce. We don't have to thank God for taking the life of a loved one, but in it. In everything. Did not say in a few things, but in everything. Lord have mercy, in everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. In everything, take it to God in prayer. Is there anybody here know that we got to pray about everything? And supplication means that we just stay before the Lord. Now there are some things that you pray about one time. But there may be another thing that you got to keep before God. Not because God is hard of hearing, but because you are exercising your faith. When you take it to God through prayer and supplication, then you are telling God, I believe you. See, sometimes we got to pray positive. Lord, and then it says with thanksgiving. Now, if you're going through sickness, just go ahead and thank God for the healing already. If you need a job, go on and thank God for the job in advance. You've been having relationships that don't work. Go ahead and thank God that the right gentleman, the right lady. Somebody ought to have been saying amen now. Come into your life. You know, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, before we ask God for anything, we ought to thank him. You know, Pastor Tillman, over the years, you know, I've been keeping a little prayer journal, and that I sometimes look back on, and every time I write in the journal, it's amazing thing happens. I begin to thank God before I ask him for anything. And when I thank God, I recognize that my situation is not quite as bad as I thought it was. That I got a lot to be thankful for. Got a roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet, groceries in the refrigerator. And I'm sitting here complaining. I've been overseas. I've seen the shanties that some of our folks live in Africa. And I'm here complaining. You may not drive a Mercedes, but boy, if you can get from A to Z, you are more wealthier than most of the people in the world. So the next time you pray, go ahead and thank God. And then ask God. Look at somebody and say, thank God. Then ask God. Tell them again, thank God. Then ask God. And that's the formula for answered prayer. Now I'm sure, see, God does not always answer our prayers the way we want him to. Sometimes, you know, if God gives us what we pray for, we can't handle it. And it'll mess us up. Reminded of the story of a lady who was praying for this certain man. And she stayed before the Lord and her pastor. But then the brother ended up in relationship with somebody else. She was hurt. She stayed before the pastor, was hurt. But the pastor saw her about 5-6 years later. And she was with another young man. She was smiling and happy and had a little baby running around. And she spoke to the pastor and she said, I'm just as happy as I can be. And then when the husband walked away, the pastor said, now, well, what happened to that other brother? And she said, you know, he's been in 3 relationships and all divorces. See, she was praying for something that wasn't for her. Y'all missed that. So sometimes God says no because it's for our what? Good. That's right. So, brothers and sisters, we take it to the Lord in prayer. And when we take it to God in prayer, that gives us peace. And I want you to look at verse 7, and I'm through, and I'm out your way. When we have joy as a permanent part of our lives, when we let go of anxiety and worry, and when we take it to God in prayer, I want you to look at verse 7. And I want you to look at it carefully. And it says, and, somebody say and. Which means now, stay with me, what happened before the and is connected with what's going to happen after the and. Let me say it one more time now. If you have joy and if you let anxiety out of your life and if you have a strong prayer life, you have the blessings on the other side of the and. Look at verse 7, and I want you to follow it in the word, and. Somebody shout, and. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Greg, you can't comprehend peace. You may have gone to seminary, but you can't explain peace. And the peace of God, which is above all you can understand, will, watch this now, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The stealer of our peace is our heart and mind. When our heart and mind, heart and mind is not guarded, anxiety comes in. Worry comes in. So you got to have the peace of God that's like a guard dog. guarding your heart and mind 24/7 so that the devil cannot steal the peace of God that God has given you. Look at somebody and say, guard your hearts and mind. Tell them one more time, guard your heart and your mind. As I close, a young man was on a flight. The little boy was only 12 years old. And in the middle of the flight, there was tremendous turbulence. The plane was rocking and reeling from one side to another. And everybody on the plane was hollering and calling on God and praying. But this little boy was just as calm as he could be, with a smile on his face. And the person sitting beside the boy said, how can you be so calm in the midst of all that's going through? And the boy looked at him and said, my daddy is the pilot. Do I have a witness today? You can have peace in the midst of your storm. Is there anybody here who knows that God is your pilot? Be not dismayed. Whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Yes, sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. I've seen the lightning flash, and I've heard the thunder roar, felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still fight on. He promised. Anybody here know he promised? Anybody here know he promised? Never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. Come on, give God praise. Come on, give him adoration. Come on, give God glory.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.